Hey, welcome to your day off. My name is Corey, and of course, sit with my neck bed tone. What's up, buddy? Messed that up, didn't I?
You sure did. Yeah, I feel like the earlier podcast when you were trying to say last names. That's what I felt like. That's what they must have felt like.
I know, right? That's great.
What's up, brother? Hey, man, I'm excited about our guest today.
Yeah, me too.
Not only she was a hairstylist, a salon owner, a author, an educator,
right?
So, she kind of touched a lot of aspects of our industry, and so I'm looking forward to. And she has no filter, which it's going to make it a pretty interesting podcast, which I'm excited about.
I'm excited about that as well.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. That's cool. So, we have to thank SalonCentric once again. SalonCentric put us up in their VIP room when Premier didn't have a press room for us. So, once again, SalonCentric, thank you. Thank you very much.
Excuse all the background noise if you hear it, you know, there's other people, in the room and, there's a lot going on. So if you hear music or background noise, that's what's happening.
And if you hear a lot of laughter, that's probably me.
Yeah, me too. I've been laughing since you sat down.
That's true. True that. All right, so let's do it. So, let's get in. So, our guest today is Elaine Travis, and yep. Elaine Travis, like you said, she's kind of a jack of everything, right? I mean, everything within our industry,
right?
You know, so that's cool. I can't wait to get into her story. So, Miss Elaine Travis, thank you very much. Let's start over. Miss Elaine Travis, thank you very much for joining us on your day off. But we also need to bring in Bryn, her daughter. Her daughter sitting in with us. She might not say anything, but you know she's sitting in with her. So you know we don't want like an odd voice to kick in. So so Elaine, thank you, welcome, and Bryn, thank you very much for sitting in with us as well.
Thank you. I am obsessed with your podcast, so this is such a thrill to be on the other side
of it.
You've gotten me through many long drives, which I do not like to do long drives, so it's been amazing. Instead of listening to music, I like to learn about the industry, see what's going on, and you guys have had some pretty impressive names before me, so I am in wonderful company.
None like Bryn Travis.
Right? Let's get real.
That's awesome. So, Elaine, where does kind of like your life begin, or like where are you from, and what's that story like?
This is my hometown, Philadelphia. Philly, right? Born and raised. So, finally, a hair show here. I've been in the industry 32 years. This is the first time there's been a big show.
Is that for real?
Yeah. Yeah, Philly. New York is the one that, you know, we pretty much trek to annually, so.
Right. Well, you know what? Tony and I did, that was a long time ago, but Tony and I did an event at some, like, downtown club, and it was with Robert Labetta.
Oh, cool.
And it was, remember when he was with Sebastian and he did the, what was the name
Exta.
Of that? Exta. It was X-T-A-H, right?
Yep.
Was that it? And it was a little, like, olive-colored.
The fiber.
Yeah, the fiber. It was the first time I'd ever seen fiber, right?
Yes.
So, like, he would, Robert, he would sit on stage and he would open it up and it would just, like, disappear. It would look like spider webs almost, right? Like, it would just, like, kind of break up in his hand. And I just remember being, first time I did clay. First time I ever saw clay, like molding clay and stuff, it was out of the Exta line.
Man, that's a long time ago.
I know, dude. We just aged.
And there's been small events that are with, you know, one manufacturer, but something of this caliber, mm-hmm. like Premier, I think usually gets 50,000 in Orlando. So for them to come to Philly is huge.
That's
so
awesome.
Hopefully people will catch on and know to make this an annual trip. It was a great show.
Yeah, you
know, because Philadelphia, you know, in between New York and D.C., I mean, it's perfectly centered for having a big show.
Absolutely.
I agree. You know, and there's so many, like, per capita, there's so many hairdressers in this immediate area, you know, from, again, like you said, you know, from D.C. to New York, so Jersey and Delaware, and now we're having a geography class. I don't know. I don't know quite how that happened. So you were born and raised?
Born and raised
inside
in
the city or, like, in
the suburbs, 20 minutes right. from here.
That's cool, man. Yeah. So when did kind of like your hair career start or get into hair?
Oh, wow. My hair career started in fifth grade in my girlfriend's bedroom. She commented that she wanted a new haircut, and I said, I'll do it. And she said, okay. And I cut her hair, and it looked great.
How old are you in fifth grade?
Like, I don't know, 10, 11, yeah. something like that. So I did it, and we went to basketball practice that night, and everybody complimented her hair, and that was it. By eighth grade, I had a wax pot, and I was waxing everybody's eyebrows and doing all that. Not trained, just kind of figuring it the hell out.
Figure it out.
Yeah, and then
And let's be clear, this is before, like, YouTube. This
no cell phones. You know, the house phone with the giant cord. So, yeah, so I'm showing my age. But, yeah, there was nothing to learn from but the Gigi instructions. And the same girl who let me cut her hair was the same one that I waxed, and that did not go real well. I had to chase her around my house to rip the thing off because she got scared. And I was like, well, there's only one way to get that off your face. And it's, you've got to rip it. So.
It's literally like the Band-Aid, right?
Yeah. So eighth grade, totally hooked. All through high school, kitchen beautician, every girlfriend, my mother, my brother, you know, family, family, family. And then by the time I graduated high school, I went to the beach for the summer and had a line outside my beach house with every bartender, waitress at the beach. They all came to get haircuts. Little did they know, I had no idea what I was doing.
Where, which beach?
Wildwood back then.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
Wildwood,
yeah.
Jersey.
Yeah. Oh, so it wasn't the beach, right? It was the down the shore?
Down the shore?
You were down the shore?
I wasn't going to say that because you're DC guys and nobody else gets it. But yeah, I went down the shore.
You were down the shore waxing?
Yeah.
And stuff. That's cool. So
in
that
the
was
water.
In the water. So that was like high school age?
That was right after high school. Graduated high school. It was in between high school and beauty school. And I just fell in love with the industry from the very beginning. I haven't stopped. And, you know, just everything. I've always been an old soul. So I started hairdressing before I was supposed to. And then I opened my salon at 22 because that was the next thing to do. So my mom always said, slow down, enjoy life. You're too far ahead of yourself. You're moving too fast. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm always like, I get bored easy and I'm on to the next thing. So it's been 30 years of owning the salon.
30 years of owning the salon?
Owning, yeah.
Wow.
32 total in the business, but 30 owning the salon.
And
so,
are you still here in Philly?
Your salon? I'm right outside in the suburbs.
What's the name of your
salon? Conshohocken. Try spelling that.
Yeah, no. Forget about it. Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Awesome. So who were some of your, I guess, mentors or influencers in your life that... that you studied under or trained under?
I taught here at the show, and one of the things that I share is I attempted to skip the apprentice phase. I got a job right away, right out of school, and it was in a neighborhood salon with no education, and I thought that was the better way to do it because I was very confident because I was such a kitchen beautician. But what I learned quickly was you really can't skip that phase. You really have to do that. So then I got into a salon that was
how far along in that were you like, oh, I'm over my head?
When people started asking about color and I spent 10 minutes telling them they didn't need color, their hair was fabulous because I didn't know how to do it. That was a pretty good time to stop. So I was about a year out of school and I thought I really need some good education. So I went with a salon that was very big on education, but not the greatest in supporting you as a stylist.
Right.
So I think that's what led to me seeking out, to your point about mentors and education. We talked about there was no cell phones, no YouTube, no Instagram. There was no, you know, information all over, easy to get to. So I went to my first hair event at 19. I had never been on an airplane before. I went to the airport by myself. I was a nervous wreck. And I went to this big hair color show, and there was Beth Minardi on the stage. And I was just blown away by everything that she did, because I've never been a funky hairdresser. You look at me, I don't even look like a hairdresser. So she does pretty natural, you know, cover gray, make it pretty, make it the way that it's supposed to be, only better.
Right.
And I just was so fortunate to have someone like her that she adapted and grew and changed so much over the years that I didn't need to keep finding other people to follow. She's pretty much everything that's in my book. You guys are going to get a copy of my book in your goodie bag, but everything in there is from Beth. You know, she just I pretty much became a Beth stalker. If you ask her, if you say my name to her, she'll be like, restraining order. And she, the really big moment in my career was she did a testimonial for my book. So I went from stalker to like peer, like we're kind of peers now. I interviewed her for my podcast and she was gracious and was great about it. And I'm going to do another online training with her as a bonus. So we've gotten to where we have a relationship and we're, you know, we're kind of in educate. We both have the same passion. We all want to help colorists grow and, you know, change the level of the hair color industry and just level it up.
Thank you for that. You know, I think thank you for from the industry, you know, anybody that's kind of in that game. During our talk, I guess we didn't even mention that she had a podcast. You know,
that's right.
So I don't know if we should kick her out right now. Talking to her.
Let's promote it. What's the name of your podcast?
Yeah.
It's Ask the Color Expert. Love. I have named myself the color expert. I want to be like the Dear Abby of hair color. I want people to have a resource that they can feel comfortable reaching out to with those questions. You know, people come to my classes, they come to these other classes here. There's all these people in the room and they have this burning question in them that they came to the show for.
Right.
And then there's, you know, it's so big and bright. There's all these people. And then they think if I raise my hand, the whole room's going to spin around and look at me and I'm going to get sweaty palms and shaky voice and I'm going to feel dumb and they're going to think it's a stupid question. So they just don't ask. So I created a Facebook group called Ask the Color Expert and I did the podcast where I just will talk about whatever's on my mind that day about hair color. And if people that are listening get one little nugget that changes something that they do as hair colorist, then mm-hmm. my job is done. Like I just live, eat, sleep, and drink. She'll tell you. She
no
can talk
hobbies.
Now.
No other.
As Brent and Brent, you're starting a podcast as well. It's like kind of all in the family type. You
all
know?
In the family. Yeah.
So I'm kind of blown away by here. You are. You've been cutting hair and waxing since the fifth grade, the eighth grade, and now all of a sudden, when you realize that, hey, I need additional training, and now you're all about the color, right? Do you cut hair still? Or
I do not, and I as well, Beth Minardi showed me that was a possibility. I would go to her classes, and Carmine would do the haircuts, and Beth would do the color, and I would find myself totally watching her the entire time and never watching any of the cut. And then it would be finished and I'd be like, oh crap, now I don't know how to do the haircut. But I would also look at my book. And for those of you listening, if you have a day where you look at the book and you get, I get like a unplanned hair lip when I look at my book. I used to see like men's cut, waxing, updo. I was like, ugh. And then it would be highlight, hair color, and I would light up. So we all are better at other things than, you know, we're not all good at everything. And knowing your strength, color has always been my strength. So about 15 years ago, literally half the time that I owned my salon, I opened up a second location and I said, from the day that I opened that location, I will never pull my scissors out. I don't cut her hair. I don't cut my son's hair. I don't cut anybody's hair. Just wow. Strictly color. And it was emotional. I mean, I had people that no one had ever cut their hair but me. You know, I'd been doing hair for, at the time, 16 years. And they're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I said, you're going to get your hair cut by her. She's much better at that. And then you're going to see me for your color. So it's been great. It's the best thing I ever did for my career.
That's awesome. So, this morning, we talked before we went on that I walked by one of your classrooms and it was packed. You know, and like I saw the... I hope I don't sound like a dick, but I walk by the classroom and I go, man, that thing is packed. Because, and then I look up and it's you on the stage and I'm like, that's awesome. We're talking to her today.
Yeah.
You know, so first of all, congratulations on that. But,
thank you.
So you're like when you're on the stage, you're giving the education. Where do you go for your education or what's continuing education look like for you? And like, how important is it?
So important to the point where my husband will say, what again? You're going where? How could you possibly have anything left to learn? Which is off. I mean, once you think you know everything, forget it, hang it up, you're done. Like you have to grow. So me, I probably go to more advanced education than anyone that I've ever known. But there's always one thing that I walk away from that changes my game. And then I add that to what I teach, and then I help others to grow. I pay it forward, and it's just a beautiful thing. Like, recently, I became obsessed with Johnny Ramirez. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. He's out of California, and he does these, like, beachy, lived-in, sexy, you know, the women only have to go twice a year. So I was like, wow, I need to find out what that is. So literally 2 weeks before his class, I said to my husband, oh, by the way, we're flying to California, and I'm going to this class, and you're coming, and we're doing this, 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 and this. And he's like, okay. So I went, and the class was really good, but he is someone who created a very creative technique and is really good at it. I wouldn't say he's necessarily a teacher. He's very quiet and shy and doesn't really like to be the center of attention. So I didn't get as much out of it as I would have liked to, but the basic idea of it. We talked earlier when I saw you here at the podcast about my friend Ian McCabe. What happened was I came back from the Johnny Ramirez class, and I'm doing everything that he does. And Johnny's clients spend 8 hours in the salon. One client, 8 hours. They're there all day.
Oh, my God.
So they charge thousands of dollars. Yeah. It's a process. Well, most of I don't have assistants, and I don't want my books not set up that way, so I can't do 8 hours. So I'm trying to do the technique. I would go in and do it on my day off for one of Bryn's girlfriends, practice on them. And there was just something missing because I wasn't taking the 8 hours. I was kind of taking shortcuts. And my friend Ian was like, oh, girl, I got you. Come see me. I'm going to show you how to skip one of those things. And that he's so innovative. Like, he took one piece and shifted it. And now that's what I teach in all my classes. I call it my bullshit balayage because everybody's struggling to balayage.
Right.
And if you're a strong foiler and you want that balayage look, here comes bullshit balayage a la Ian. So it's like combining. We created, we took Tracy Cunningham, Johnny Ramirez, Ian McCabe, and Elaine Travis, put it all together, and we got bullshit balayage.
And
so
is that BS balayage, is that for your staff only, or
no? That's what I teach at all my classes. I do one-on-ones, I do group classes, and I share it with anybody who will pay attention to me. But the beauty of it, I love it so much. When someone comes back to me, especially these young girls, they'll pay the $1,200 crazy prices, but then they can't afford to ever come back again. It's like a once a year Christmas present kind of thing. So I'm doing that intermediate version for like $300. And I'll see them literally 3 months later. One of her girlfriends will come and her head will swing by in the salon. She lives above the salon. I'll be like, oh my God, your hair looks amazing. It looks even better 3 months in than when it was first done. So for me, like, being 32 years in, I'm excited that there's something new for me to do and then for me to teach.
So what's this training program that you've created for newly graduated students?
Well, it started out, My passion literally for the past 10 years has been to pay it forward, pay back to the industry that's been so, so good to me. So I wanted to share, and getting in with the big boys, that the hair education business can be a little political. You have to be with a manufacturer. You learned enough in the first 5 minutes of our interview that I'm pretty much a body girl and I got to watch my mouth. So manufacturers are not knocking down my door to have me represent them because I'm very authentic. I will not say that a product does something that I don't believe that it does. So I am very proud of myself that I've made it this far being independent because it's so difficult. But 10 years ago, I would say to my kids, my husband, I'm like, I've done so much behind the chair. I want to share. I want to simplify it. Hair color doesn't have to be so complicated. These schools, I'm sorry, schools, I don't mean to throw shade on schools, but they're using the technique from when I went to school. They're still teaching it the same way, and it's not correct. And then the manufacturers are teaching it the same way, and it's not correct. And I could sit here for 4 hours and show you guys on hair swatches why it's not correct.
Right.
And I'm not just making it up. So I then need to pull all the information that these people have in their brain and shift it. And it's hard. You know what it's like to break a habit that you've done for a long time. So I was like, how can I do this? Okay, I'm going to do a boot camp, and I'm going to make it 5 consecutive Mondays where other salon owners are going to send me their colorists, and I'm going to do a boot camp, and I'm going to jam everything into 5 days. Well, what happened was it ended up being so fun and such good information. Modern Salon picked it up and they ran an article, and then people were texting me from like all over the country. Well, who's going to fly into Philly five Mondays in a row. You know what I mean? So I was right. like, now I have to redo the whole thing. And then I tried to make it into like a 3-day thing, but it's too much for 3 days. So that's where the book came from. I hate the snow with a passion. And my kids were not at that cute, let's go sledding, I need to be with them. It was like, where's the food? I'm eating out of house and home. I'm so bored. I need to get out of this house. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to write a book about hair color, and I'm not going to overthink it. I'm just going to pull out my laptop, and it's going to be like an exorcism. I'm just going to brain dump onto this computer. And I just wrote and wrote and wrote, and you know, two snowstorms later, I had the material, and then I was like, so how do you write about, I don't know what to do.
Now what, right?
Now what? So thank God for Google and the computer, and I just went on and said how to write a book, how to get published, blah, 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 and up came Amazon self-publishing. And it was like, here's how to self-publish. So I went on, I did everything, and then I was like, oh, shit, I need a cover. And that's where Gorgeous Over Here made me a fabulous cover. So my daughter did my cover, and she totally formatted, because I am so tech challenged. So I just had one run-on sentence was basically my no punctuation. No, it was like a really an exorcism. Just like, blah, blah, blah. So she turned it into an actual book.
So she's your editor as well.
She's my editor. She's my virtual assistant. She's the reason that I pee when I sneeze. She's a very large head.
You sound like my wife. I gotta sneeze this way because otherwise I'll pee.
You have to do like an instant kegel. Did you ever, you know, the kegel thing? You have to like think about it. I go, I'm in the salon. I'm like, oh, okay, clean up on aisle 7. So yeah, she is wonderful, and I am I'm gently coaxing her to try to bring her into our industry. She went to Penn State. She majored in entrepreneurship, and
whoa,
they had this.
Whoa. Entrepreneurship is a major?
Yes, she was the first class.
I thought entrepreneurship was like a passion.
Thank you. My son's in college now, and I'm like, dude, you do not need a 4-year degree to be told you can open a business. Here's how much of a weirdo mom I am. I'm like, it comes time for college. I'm like, listen. She was like, I don't know what I want to do. I said, I hate managing my salon. I hate inventory. I hate this one called out, that one this. I just want to be a colorist. I just want to do great hair. So I was like, listen, you don't need to go to college to be an entrepreneur. Look at your mother. I was 22. I didn't know any different. My business plan was tips from bartending dumped on a table in front of a beauty supply guy. I was like, how many chairs can I get? That was my business plan. And it worked. I'm still here. So I'm talking her into it. And I'm like, listen, what kind of car do you like? What's your favorite car? She goes, well, I like that Mercedes. I was like, done. Done. I will give you a brand new car, the apartment above the salon. Just run my business. You don't have to go to college. And I'll throw in a bonus 1-year European vacation. Just go to Europe. I will fund it. I will 100% pay for it because all of that is cheaper than 4 years of drunkenness in college. So she didn't do it.
That shows the drunkenness.
She chose the drunkenness. And she did the entrepreneurship major, and they had a competition in her major, and we put our heads together, and we came up with this whole concept that was going to be her business when she graduated, and she won the competition. So, like, the business of beauty, there's so many different facets and layers, and I'm so ADD, in case you didn't notice. In this,
how did we get here?
That, like, this is the perfect field for me, because it's like, just when I start getting bored doing hair, I write a book. And then when that gets boring, I do a podcast. And then when that gets boring, I'm like, oh, online education. There's always another level.
There's always something.
So what's the name of the book?
It's called A Colorful Journey by Elaine Travis. It's on Amazon. I just did the Kindle version for the Kindle peeps.
Oh, good deal, man. That's awesome.
So yeah, it's been great. I mean, I didn't write it to make money. You never are going to get rich on a book. There's not a lot of profit in it. I did it because that information needed to come out of me, and I'm so blown away by how well it's been received. Like, someone just wrote to me from Australia.
Awesome.
They bought it. Somebody from the UK. And people, you know, I wrote it for the newbie coming up, because there's not a lot of information for them. And it ended up being the people that enjoy it the most are the, I've been doing this 30 years, I've never heard this information, because we were taught, you know.
That's what this weekend's been about. So far, everybody we've talked to this weekend is about paying it forward. You know what I mean? And it blows my mind every time we have a podcast and we talk about this. Such great people in our industry, and so many people that want to help the generation after us, or the next generation, right? They just paying it forward. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing in our industry.
I think we're in a really good time in our industry. And we, you know, you and I have certainly talked about this, but I think the narrative has changed, right? Like the narrative's come back to the chair, you know, and it's not the, it's so weird to say it in this room, but it's, you know, it's not the same narrative as the manufacturers. And there's this big independent thing that's kind of opened. And now with independent education, you have a way to market yourself as opposed to just like word of mouth, or I don't even know how you would do it before the internet or whatever, you know? Right. So, you know, there's definitely this big movement to independent education. Now on that, and
would have been a much harder situation for her to write her book without the internet or without, you know,
without the self-publishing. I was like, oh my God, this.
There was a book out, crap, might be like 15 years. I know it's out of print because I've been looking for it. It was like Hair Color by Ronaldo or something, and it was like, I thought he was from here in Pennsylvania, actually. And,
it might be the Renbow guy.
Did you ever see that book?
I did not, but I've heard great things about him. Like Beth Minardi, when I interviewed her.
I have a copy.
You do?
Yeah, I
got to steal that. When I interviewed Beth, I said, Beth, you've done so much for all of us. Who motivates you? Like, where do you go for inspiration? And she mentioned the Rembo guy. So we were just talking about him. That's why I knew we were talking about.
That's cool. Yeah, it was really cool. Like, I definitely read it like, I don't know, cover to cover, I guess is what they say.
Yeah.
And I'm not a reader.
Right.
Tony will tell you, man, I'm like, I am such an audio learner that, mm-hmm. that you put a book in front of me and I'm like, you know, I don't see it. But it was a really cool book. it was a really, really cool book, and it gave a lot of foundational type stuff, like not even a lot of stuff that you actually use in the salon, you know, just about like oxidation and stuff like that, but just a really cool, by using in the salon, I mean like you're not thinking your way through it as you're doing it, you know, but it was a really cool book, and it was just super inspirational. It's kind of understanding the color process on a molecular level. Is that the right word? I don't know. You know, but just through the chemistry of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. It's a great book. I think that was like 1990 when I read it, or 2000 when I read it, or something like that. That's really good, man. That's pretty. I'm pretty impressed, man. I can't wait to kind of jump into your book. Kind of wish I had it before.
I'll read it to you.
I sent Katie. I struggled to send Katie the. We'll do an Audible. Do it on Kindle, and I'll talk you through it.
I'm holding
level
you to that.
4. Ban the brass.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. So, so as Tony set you up, you're like the Renaissance of our industry. So. You know, aside, well, how do you do it as far as like home life and work life and how are you like I certainly know for my wife, and I think I can talk to about Tony's wife too, is that there's this pressure to be there for your kids, and there's this pressure for this relationship with your kids and being such a go-getter and maybe type A.
You're talking about her kids here.
She gets drug along with me. And that's basically to the point of. There was never any balance, no homework balance. What we did many years ago is my wonderful husband decided to take a backseat to my craziness because he wasn't burning passion for what he did, and he's so much better at being a parent.
At that time,
he was
like coach
so much better. Like he coached their teams, he helped with the homework. Yeah. I'm like, tell yourself I did my own homework. Yeah. So there was no. I mean, when I look back at 12-hour days, you know, she. Mm-hmm. We joke because I got her this. Who is it? Leanne Womack song. It's like, I hope you dance. So I bought her that. It was after 9/11. I was supposed to be in New York seeing Beth Minardi. Mm-hmm. And my husband had enough of me running around. And he was like, oh, please don't go. Like, you need to be home. You're running around. And I was like, but it's Beauty Focus. I go every year, you know. And I thank God stayed home because that would have been awful. And it was just such an emotional, oh my gosh, I would have been in the middle of all that and possibly not here right now. And I went home and I bought her this little book and the song. And she's like, oh, Mom, I love it. And how many years later? She's packing to move out of the house at like 23. And there's the song and the little DVD or CD. And I was like, Bryn, your whole room's empty and that's still there. You still have it? She goes, still have it. I cried myself to sleep every night when you said you'd be home and you never made it home.
Oh.
And that song got me through it. But tell them how you feel about it on the flip side, on the lesson of like what you can do if you put your mind to it.
Oh,
like, she got so much more on the other side now that she's an adult of being driven.
I think you're coaching her through it. Bryn, go ahead.
Oh, I'm coaching. Yeah, therapy. Yeah, yeah. The other side will come out in therapy.
She's like, Bryn, don't. Bryn, like, tell just lie to these people so I feel better about myself.
No, I say it all the time. Like, I talk to, like, all my friends and, you know, see their relationship with their parent versus my relationship with my parents, and specifically with her, seeing just going for after what you want and not taking no for an answer. And that's something that's actually gotten me in trouble, I feel like, sometimes. Because I'm like so headstrong. I'm not even 25 yet, and I feel like I'm like, I'm not gonna do what I don't want to do. I want to be passionate for what I do. I want to like start something and all that stuff. So I like, it's such a good example, and my brother's the same way,
right?
And just being like, when like exactly what she just talked about, like when she didn't know how to do it, just figure it out. And that's what has always been, you know, underlying in my whole life. So I'm super thankful.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah. And it's fun to like come to the shows and help and talk to people and meet people. And
you know, I kind of set you guys up, but you know, you guys sitting next to each other, you see it, you see the bond there.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, man. I mean, I don't know if the word's envious, but just I'm impressed by it. I guess is the best way to say it. So, Bryn, backing up a little bit. So
we both have daughters, and neither one of them want to hang out with us. So
not yet. How old are they?
My daughter's 23. She just got married, actually.
Aww.
Mine's 25.
And they don't hang out with you?
No, he's lying.
Mine's a daddy's girl.
They both are.
She wants me to do her hair constantly, but she doesn't want to come here.
Well, here's the deal. Most marriages, you're the bad cop and the wife is the good cop. My husband was the bad cop. I was fun mom.
Yeah. Right.
So oh, really? I was the one who came home with the cookies at midnight and let's all stay up and watch a movie. Who cares about homework?
I wouldn't have read that. I would have read it the other way. Like, honestly, I would have.
No, I'm fun mom. So
good job, fun mom. Yeah. So, Bryn, backing up a little bit, what was your business plan at Penn State?
I started a little mini marketing firm for salons. So I was working with a salon in State College doing their like social media, inventory management, stuff like that, which was really fun. And really, really enjoyed it. Started getting conversations going with people at home as well. And then I was like, I'm not really ready to start my life and have a job. So then I picked up and moved to Thailand.
What? Whoa. So Thailand?
Did you do any Muay Thai?
I did.
She did.
It's super fun. Oh. Yeah, Muay Thai. Yeah.
You did that? So tell me about Thailand.
Oh, it was really, really cool. I sometimes wish
So you turned down a year in Europe for Thailand?
Yeah, eventually. I had to go.
Well, that's
somehow.
What was nice that she got to do the, you know. She didn't study abroad. She went to Thailand for
so
6 months.
So how long were you were in for 6 months?
I was there
months?
For 6 months.
So why Thailand? I mean, the whole world, why Thailand?
The most out of my comfort zone that I would still feel safe physically, like not endangering myself as, you know, white single woman traveling alone kind of thing.
Right.
But the most out of my comfort
Liam
zone.
Liam Neeson just came in my head, by the way.
I know. Oh, yeah. My mother, right before she left, you need to watch this movie, and puts that on. I'm like, really? Seriously? She's leaving in 2 days. Did you have to show me that?
I tried to show my daughter that, and like after like the first couple of minutes, she was like, I'm not watching this.
No.
This is too scary.
Like before we go to the beach on vacation, I make everybody watch Open Water.
Jaws.
And then make them go swimming in it. So this is overcome it.
So Thailand was cool then, huh?
Yeah, it was great. Nicest people, nicest place, super easy. I love it because she calls me a freegan because I like stop home and I just steal free stuff from the
toilet
house.
Paper
and like
towels.
From the salon. I just like go downstairs and out of toilet paper. Oh, the salon has toilet paper. It's free. So it's super cheap to live there. So you can live on like $5 a day, and I'm all about that.
You can live on freegans.
Yeah, I'm a freegan. So yeah,
perfect.
I love that freegan. Cool. That's so funny. That's so cool. So Elaine, I guess like, I mean, you've become a mentor yourself, you know, and you have a lot of people in your life. Like what, how would you advise somebody if other than Bryn, you know, would you advise somebody like, you know, if they wanted to kind of follow in your footsteps, if they wanted to open a salon or how does that work?
My favorite quote from Marie Forleo is everything is figure outable. There's always a way. And I think people get so caught up in the excuses of, I don't know. And like the theme of this whole podcast is what we have at our fingertips now, just the power of that phone. Her and I were so lost wandering around. I live here. I'm from Philadelphia. We walked around three times and around in a circle. I'm like, what the hell are we doing? And I'm like, get on your phone. So she got on her phone and then we followed the, GPS, right. But we never had that. And for her to be able to go to Thailand and never feel lost because she had that phone in her hand. And here's me, I'm the older version. I got off the plane. I don't know how to do the SIM card and all that. And my ride didn't pick me up. And my son and I are looking around like, oh no, who's going to save us?
Now what?
But everything is figure outable. You know, you find some person that has a phone and you sign language like, I need your phone. And so I would say, don't wait. Don't put anything off until someday, because someday sometimes never comes and you get stuck in your ruts and don't grow. And just go for it. I mean, the worst that can happen, like when I opened the first location, I was 22. What did I have to lose? I didn't have a mortgage. You know, I sold my car. I bartended. I dumped the cash on the table. I got the furniture. I opened up. I never had a slow day. Then it was like I accidentally became a boss because I needed to hire other people. Quick growth. Right. Oh, great idea. Open a new second location. Bad idea. Wouldn't do that again. opened the second location. Became a color specialist. Changed my whole brand. So everything has evolved. From, I am not a fearful person. I say fear is false evidence appearing real. None of it's real. The story you have in your head is not real. You're telling yourself what you think is going to happen, but that's not what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So it's not, you know, the only thing I'm afraid of is death. My son will say to me, what are you afraid of? I'm like, I'm not afraid of spiders. I'm not like the normal woman. I just don't want to die. I want to be here for a long time being annoying. So just go for it. Go for your dreams. And, you know, everything's figure outable. Phone a friend, call in a favor. Like, I walked up to the Antidote Pro booth and it was empty at the show and I'm screaming like a lunatic. Where is everybody? Why is this booth empty? This is the greatest product on earth. I have a stigmata on my palm. I have psoriasis so bad from washing hair so much. And he literally wiped the cream on and I have a brand new palm. Like, how can you not walk by that booth? So I was like, dude, come to my class tomorrow and get some swag going and hand some things out and introduce yourself. So I invited him to my class. So I love connection. I'm a connector. I thrive on connection. And to that point, something that I discovered that I wanted to share with you guys, because I know you come into contact with a lot of hairdressers, I found a new toy that I'm really excited about.
Let's talk about it.
Don't be dirty. It's not a vibrator. I saw that.
He got the pen out.
He's ready. He's ready. It's not a sex toy. It is a new, I don't know if you call it an app, it's a new system for tracking your color waste. I am so passionate about, when I teach in my classes, like, guys, stop mixing up enough color to do five heads for one head. Environmentally, it's not okay. All the wasted tubes, all the wasted boxes. Don't get me started about the instructions in every tube. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really? When I order 24 of something, do I need 24 sheets of instructions?
I'm going to interrupt you for just a sec, because I'll tell you.
Can we get the name of the app first?
No, we're going to get back to it. But I tell you the greatest piece of advice that I got, and it was from a guy that Tony and I used to work for, a guy named Reg Laws, who owns an amazing salon system in DC. But he once took me aside, and I was like, young, 25 or so, and he says, whenever you throw that color in the trash, the only one that made money was the color companies.
Only. That's
and,
it.
And that was such an eye-opening moment for me, and I was like, you know what, he's right. Like the salon didn't make money, I didn't make money.
Nobody
the only person
money.
That makes money is, and no matter how much you charge for your color, the only one that makes money in that scenario is the product companies.
Absolutely. You
know? So what app is it that's going to help us
with
this?
It's called Vish, V-I-S-H. It is a scale that is Bluetooth and hooks up to whatever your salon software is. So when you're measuring your color, it's tracking, how many grams are at. It does grams or ounces, which is great because I'm an ounce girl. And it
measures.
So
this works with like Millennium and stuff?
They claim it to be, I haven't tried it yet. Mine's ordered now. I'm very excited to start playing, but they say that it's compatible with every software. I don't know how they pull it over, but it'll tell the computer how much you used on the initial application, and then the stylist then measures the waste. Like you clear the scale, put it back on with whatever's left in there, mm-hmm. and then it will recalculate the formula for the perfect amount for the next visit. So from this,
Shut the front door.
Yes. I mean, there are other companies that tried to do this, and I would call them, and I'm like, well, does it do this? No. Does it do that? No. And then I started to try to say, okay, I need to get an app developer and figure this out because this needs to happen. But I didn't realize how expensive apps are. They can be like $500,000.
We had a conversation about a year ago, and we're like, whoa.
I couldn't believe it. I had no idea. So I'm so happy. These guys are out of Canada, Newfoundland, Canada. And I just reached out for a demo. I was like, wow, this looks like it does everything that I want it to do. Connected with them, and I said, hey, I'm getting interviewed for a podcast. I'm giving you guys a shout out because everybody needs to know about this. So am I allowed to do my plug to get the emails from people? Can I do that? So if anybody listening, if you're on your drive listening and you're excited about Vish like I am, take out your phone, not while you're driving, and text the number 44222, and then in all capitals, type in get Vish. V Victor I S H. Get Vish.
And they'll reach out and they'll reach back to
They're
you.
They're going to send out information on how to do a demo. The guy ran me through the demo. I was like, how fast can I get this system put into my salon? Because, number one, to your point about the only person that makes money is the color company, there's just too many mouths to feed from that tube. And it's gotten so cost prohibitive. I can't keep passing on the increase in price to the client. I'm not going to have a clientele soon. You know what I mean? I learned a formula years ago that you're supposed to charge whatever the cost of the tube is times 11 should be the minimum that you charge. And if you went around the show today, you're not going to get people charging what they're supposed to charge. So every single time they do a color service, they lose money.
Hold on. I want to talk about this formula for a sec. So, but is that on the assumption that you're using a full tube per...
Well, I've never done ahead and not used a full tube. I'm usually like a tube and a quarter, tube and a half. So I've never gotten through one that's not a full tube. And the tubes are getting smaller.
They're getting smaller and the price is going up.
The price is going up. Yeah. I mean, literally like every 3 months I get a, by the way, another 50 cents. I'm like, really?
By the way, F you.
Yeah, it's just, it's enough, you know. So yes, check out that I'm excited about. And that's to the, you know, the connection part. I love that part. Like, I love meeting somebody that has a need and connecting them with someone who has the answer. I thrive on connection.
Well, how can people connect with you?
Yeah, I am on Instagram as Lainey Cake. You want to know why?
Yeah.
So I was so tech challenged and not on Instagram, and I asked my kids to open an account. And I said, I don't want just my name. I want like something fun. And they were like, oh, Lainey Cake. I'm like, where'd that come from? They're like, the only thing you know how to cook is pancakes. And it's true.
So
that's why I'm Lainey Cake. And I like it. And when I'm a grandma, if I'm ever a grandma with these two, I want to be Lainey Cake. I don't want to be me, mom, moo, mom, all
hey,
those.
Me, mom. Hey, me, mom.
I
what's
hate all that stuff. Say, Grammy.
Spell out Lainey.
LAINEYCAKE. And I do make a mean ass pancake.
Yeah, she does.
Does she?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I rock.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty awesome to be known for. Dude, so Elaine Travis.
Yes.
And Brent.
Lainey Cake.
Lainey Cakes. Miss Lainey Cakes. Guys, awesome. You gave us so much information. And
thank you for paying, you know, it forward. And
absolutely.
You know, we appreciate everything you're doing for our industry.
Thank you. Absolutely. And thanks for having me. This was so fun. I can't wait to listen to me in my car.
We can't wait to.
I need a road trip to listen to me and my daughter.
Hey, so if we read the, when I read the book to Corey,
I love it.
We'll highlight maybe certain things and maybe in the future.
On.
Yeah, bounce back on and we could talk about like do a small talk on Thursdays about, you know.
I love that. That's a great idea.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Actually.
Hey, so we got this cool thing going on. So before we let you guys go or run down the hallway or do what you guys do, we just kind of want to share. We got a couple packs from we got a couple gift packs for you.
Pink Pewter, Ruzel.
Oh, guess what? I found out about Pink Pewter from you guys.
Oh,
that's so good job.
That's awesome. You know, we did a podcast with Olivia Smalley, and the same thing.
And you were supposed to have something on your T-shirt about Olivia. I want to.
That's a good call. See, that was the test.
I know
that was the test right there, man.
I was like, I don't see that on the t-shirt. Right.
So also in the bag, so Roozel gave us a little. It's like a six pack of pomades, but also
our Zuka experience.
They were a sponsor from. They were a sponsor from Orlando, and the Zuka experience is a really cool thing. And as soon as we jump off air with you guys, we'll kind of show you how that works. Sound good?
Absolutely. Anytime. You guys are fun.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And thanks for listening to the podcast. Thanks for being an honest listener to the podcast, and Miss Lainey Cakes and her amazing daughter, Bryn. Thank you guys very much for joining us on your day off.
Thank you.
Hey, so there it is. Hey, this is a message that we've been trying to bring, I don't know, for the last couple months, actually since we started the podcast. Hey, so if you like the podcast or if you find that it's useful, please, please, please leave us a review, a 5-star review on iTunes. Leave us a rating and a review.
But if you don't like it, forget about it.
Yeah, totally forget about this message. We also want to thank Sarah and Blaine from Pretty Gritty. Sarah and Blaine, they are a band out of Portland, Oregon, and we just want to thank them very much for allowing us to use their song, Pleased to Meet You, on our podcast. That's cool. I think you can find their music on iTunes.
Peace and hair grease.